Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good morning, good whatever time of day it is and whatever time zone you might be. Welcome to Cross Encounters Radio. This is Chris Honholt sitting in for Tony tonight. Myself and my good friend and brother, Richard Story, are sitting in as Tony is at the Herald Society Conference down in Florida. We're grateful to have you with us tonight. We hope that if you are down there in Florida, you've been blessed by the teachings of Tony and the other brothers down there. Look forward to having him back and hearing the wonderful testimonies of the things that God did. And we're looking forward to maybe hopefully that Herald Society conference audio getting released too, because there are some wonderful, wonderful godly men down there teaching along with our brother Tony. So we thank you for being with us tonight and joining us as you do each and every week. I want to remind you that Cross Encounters Radio is, in fact, a listener-supported program. We try not to bug you guys and beg for money, but we do know that this program is entirely on the air because of folks like you. We don't have an audience if nobody tunes in, and we don't have a program if if kind and generous folks haven't been able to donate and keep the show on the air. So we just want to ask you, if God has so blessed you, if God has made it possible for you to be able to consider outside your immediate needs and your family's needs, if you are in a situation where you can consider partnering with our program and partnering with Tony and his itinerant ministry, want you to encourage you to go check out the website crossencountersmin.com and look at our partner page. And you know, if you're able to do that, partner with us, helps keep the show on the air, help keep Tony going on out there. We greatly appreciate it. Rich, what's going on? I'm seeing all kinds of freaking out going on in the chat room.
Well, it seems like those that are logged in listening to the show live, a couple of them are having issues hearing us. I'm not sure if it's just typical audio delay between our live feed and what the listeners hear, or if it's a Blog Talk Radio issue, or it's on our end. I can hear you and you can hear me, so I'm waiting
okay.
To see what they're saying.
Well, folks if you are in the chat room, please forgive us. We are stuck with how Blog Talk Radio sometimes gives us grief. We are at the mercy of the system, so bear with us. Hopefully it will stop giving us grief here shortly and you'll guys be able to hear the program. We encourage you to stick around. Please hang in there. Wow, somebody is getting commercials over and over again. Blog Talk, you're killing me here. All right, well, hopefully we'll just keep doing the program, and we pray that – oh, good, we got one listener that hears us. Yes, one listener that does and two that don't. Oh, boy, this is going to be fun. You know, this is what happens when Rich and I take over the show. Last week, Rich, the intro completely cut out. We had zero audio music at the very beginning for 30 seconds, as I recall last time. So, you know what? You put the sidekicks in charge, chaos ensues. We love it. So bear with us, folks. I hope it works well. Anyway, again, we thank you for joining us tonight. Rich, I want to tell you, I was blessed today. Some of you guys know I can't get out on the streets as much anymore. My kids are getting older. They need more of our time. For a long time, because of family illness with my wife was being sick, I wasn't able to get out on the streets as much. And so my ability to get out there hitting the streets every week is hampered. And unfortunately, I just don't get to do it like I'd like to. And God, God was gracious in that our church and our team leader for the evangelism team for our church, Gary Carter, started doing the last Saturday of each month going up to the University of Nevada, Reno. And that's my old alma mater. That's where I got my my bachelor's in criminal justice. So that's my old stomping grounds from 1992 to 1996. I spent a lot of time just trying to keep my eyes open in some of those lectures. And I got to be up there today, not as a student, but because they're doing this, I got to be up there handing out gospel tracts. And I've always kind of been a little nervous about that. I've never done any ministry on a college campus before. And it was great to be up there because we know what happens with college campuses. They're bastions of liberal, progressive, secular humanism. And you always, all you have to do is talk to some evangelists who've spent time on the college campuses, and you know how difficult sometimes it can be to talk to those students who've been raised in that thinking. But today was a blessing, and we just stood out in front of the library, and we had tracts, and as the young people went by, I can't believe I said that, young people. I graduated almost 20 years ago, and now I have to say young people. Oh, you young punks out there! You just made me call you young people. But we were handing them out, and I'm telling you, it's clearly not uncommon for literature and stuff to be handed out because these folks were just taking it, and they were actually polite. I was shocked; they were polite, and they said thank you, and they would take it. And you'd watch them walking down the sidewalk reading it. And I was just entirely shocked. It's just something I did not expect. I've been in the downtown Reno area trying to hand out gospel tracts, and man, sometimes the people walking down the streets could be just grouchy, just difficult to deal with. And the students today were just really a blessing to actually be able to hand those gospel tracts to. So I know that's not going to be the case in every situation. Not always are you going to be at a campus that is, oh, good, Zookeeper Kevin is now hearing. We've got two. We got two listeners hearing. That's good. Do I hear three? There's three listening, please. But not every campus is going to be friendly to the gospel. In fact, not every campus is going to be friendly to having an evangelist on the campus. I know that. But if you have an opportunity to get to your local campus, get out there. Okay, please get out there. These guys are being inundated with secular humanism, and you may be the only person that will ever care enough to tell them the truth about the Gospels. No, I did not break the internet again. I got cross-eyed cyclops in the chat room accusing me of it. Tony breaks the internet. Get that right. He breaks it. It's usually Twitter. But it was actually really nice, and it was. We weren't being chased off. We were allowed. They have a particular area that they allow us to be, and it's right in an open area. It's not like they shoved us off to the back 40 somewhere. So it was great opportunity. So I would encourage you folks, if you have a college in your area and you can get on there, go, because man, that was a great time just spending 2 hours handing out. I handed out at least 100 gospel tracts in those 2 hours. It was a quiet day today, but I mean, I hand out, there's 100 gospel tracts. There were five of us. Now imagine if all five of us managed to actually successfully hand out 100 gospel tracts. 500 students would have the gospel in their pockets. I mean, can you think about that? If you can do that, even just to get out there and give out gospel tracts, we didn't open air. We didn't get a chance to do one-to-one encounters because the students were on the go, but 500 gospel tracts. Think about it. If 500 gospel tracts went out, and that might be a high estimate, but imagine 500 students getting the gospel. That is a blessing. That is a blessing to be a part of that. So that was a great time for me today. How you doing, Rich? How was your day, and how's your week been?
Well, brother, actually, I'm sitting here wrapped up about to freeze, so if you hear any background noise, it's not technical. It's probably my teeth chattering. But it's been a I've actually had a blessed week. I was able to go watch my daughter's performance Thursday night. She's a captain of their school's color guard team. She does the rifles and the flags and the sabers, and you know, they go through the routine throwing them and spinning and doing all that. And currently, they're all on the other end of the state tonight, and my daughter's team is competing for the state championship for their color guard squad. I mean, it's kind of hard to, if you're not familiar with it, it's a lot different than football or baseball, but needless to say, they're still competing for the state championship, and regardless of where they win, whether they win or lose, I just pray and hope that all these young ladies glorify God no matter what the outcome is.
Amen. Amen. You know, I got to see, you shot me some imagery of what they were doing, so that was really neat. You know, when I was in high school, I did the drill team with arms in the JROTC program, and I'm telling you, those gals put up, you know, that imagery you sent me, that puts anything we did to shame. I mean, it's just amazing. So I really hope they do very well, and you know, like you said, that they well represent the Lord, you know, out there. So that's awesome. Well, you know what? Let's jump right into our show tonight. You know, go ahead. Go.
Sorry, Chris, I got to interrupt you. One thing we did forget, we got to announce the winner of our very first ever Cross Encounters Radio Podcast Contest.
Yes. Who won?
Okay, the winner was, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing this last name incorrectly, but the winner of our first ever Cross Encounters Radio Podcast Contest is, drum roll, Brian Zebarth from Colorado. And
woo-hoo!
Brian and his, you know Brian?
No, but that's a cool thing anyway.
Okay. I thought you, all right. Anyway, but he'll be receiving a Rata knife gift set courtesy of our sponsor, Sharkhead Knives and Gifts.
Awesome. So Ryan, does he need to get in touch with you?
Well, Suzanne and Tyler have the information. They picked the winner, and I think they have Brian's email, and I'll see to it that Brian gets emailed and notified that he was the winner of our podcast contest. So
fantastic.
But thanks to
folks,
everyone that entered.
Yes, thank you so much. The fact that you guys, you know, enter, it tells me two things. One, you're a good Christian because you like cheap stuff and free stuff, and not that the Rata knives are cheap; they're a good product. But it means you don't like to spend money, so that's a good thing. that kind of comes with being a Christian. It's frugal, right? So free is always a good thing. And secondly, it means you're listening and you're tuning in and you're being a part of the program, and we're grateful for that. And you know, Rich, thank your wife and your son and the Sharkhead Knives folks for us, because that's a blessing that we can do something like that for our listeners. You know, we don't have the big flashy ministry that we can do all kinds of neat stuff, but once in a while we want to bless you guys back and tell, you know, thank your wife and stuff for allowing us to do that for them.
Will do, brother.
Okay. Well, all right. Now, anything else? Am I forgetting anything else?
Not that I can think of, and I apologize for interrupting you a moment ago.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, because Tony would have strung me up by the highest yardarm if I'd forgotten that.
You would have been fired for the 527th time.
You know what? When he fires me for like the 1,000th time, we're just going to have to do another giveaway. I think that's what it's going to have to be.
The Chris got fired giveaway.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's what we need to come up with. There's got to be like some sort of pool. You have a chart, and you got to figure out what day Tony fires me for the 1,000th time, and then whoever nails that one, that's the winner. Oh boy. Okay, we got to do a show. We've got 45 minutes left, and we've goofed off. See, that's the problem with not having a 2-hour show anymore. I miss 2 hours because we used to enjoy a little more time to talk about some of these things, but we really got to roll into tonight's topics. We've got two topics tonight. The first one we're going to talk about is the press release given out by Benny Hinn Ministries. If you have not been paying attention, it probably would benefit you because we don't want you to keep tabs on people like Benny Hinn. He's a heretic and he's teaching false teaching. But last week he ended up in the hospital. Now, we don't gloat over anybody's tragedy. We don't gloat over the fact that anybody ends up in a hospital sick. But this is a man who has duped millions into believing that he can heal them by waving his coat or breathing on them or whatever it is and heal them. And this is a man who ended up in the intensive care unit for a heart-related problem. And so we're going to talk about that because when one of the chief architects of the Blabbit and Grabbit Ministries is out there promoting that just have enough faith and give him enough money, he'll heal you, ends up in the ICU, that really should open people's eyes. And unfortunately, I fear too many are still not paying attention. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and we're going to talk about the problems with the Word of Faith heresy teaching. We also want to talk about Michael Overd. Michael Overd is a street preacher in the U.K., who recently had been put on trial for violating the hate speech laws in his country, and was actually of the three counts, that he had been charged with, all but one were dismissed. One, however, he was found guilty on. And the thing that the problem with that particular conviction is that the judge basically told Mr. Overd, had you not used this Bible verse, it would have been fine. So the judge, who's not a Christian, who's actually Muslim, says that you can use these Bible verses but not those Bible verses. That's a huge problem. You have someone outside the Christian faith telling you what Bible verses are acceptable. And we can go into the fact that he's a Muslim, but this could have been an atheist. This could have been a cultural Christian. This could have been somebody who really just had no thoughts on religion in general. It could have been a secular judge altogether. The thing is that a government body has come into the realm of Christianity and said what verses we can and can't use in the public square. And that's a huge, huge problem. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about tonight, because I believe that's where we're going to see the bulk of censorship on the part of Christianity begin. You're going to see it. We know that they take issue with Christ, that we know that they take issue with his word. What is the tactic that will be used to silence Christians? And I think this is one of the first areas that you're going to see that coming up, is that they're going to say you can't use certain Bible verses, even though it's part of your religion and you're welcome to believe it, but you need to keep your mouth shut on those issues. So those are the two issues we're going to talk about tonight. If we do run over a little bit, we'll ask you to download the podcast. We try to keep it in that 1 hour so you can listen to us live. But let's first talk about the Benny Hinn incident that happened. If you go to bennyhinn.org/press-release, and Rich, I know you put that. I know you'll put that in the chat room. You will see a press release issued on March 27, 2015. And it basically states that 1 week to the day after beginning treatment for atrial fibrillation, best-selling author and evangelist, I take issue with these of evangelists, has been released. Before leaving the medical center, he expressed deep gratitude not only for the care he received from one of the world's leading cardiologists and medical teams, but also for the prayers of family, well-known leaders, partners, ministry, staff members from around the world. Quote, I've seen the hand of God at work both through prayer and the physicians, end quote, the Hinn said. It basically goes on to say that he knows God's faithful, his heart has not been damaged, his atrial fibrillation is being treated effectively, his heart rate has been reduced considerably, and he's getting stronger, etc. The thing that I found extremely interesting about that is the quote further down the press release, and he says, shortly after I arrived at the center, dear friends such as Reinhard Bonnke, Kenneth Copeland flew here to pray over me. as news spread, leaders such as Dr. Pat Robertson, Morris Cerullo, Tommy Barnett, Jack Hafer, Jan Crouch, Rod Parsley, Pastors Dennis and Eunice John, and Steve Muncy sent and phoned such warm greetings and kind words. Dr. Paul Dinakaran from India, who has prayer centers around the world, called to let us know that all of his people were interceding for me. Now, this is what I find in, you know, Benny Hinn, a week ago, ends up in the hospital. You know, he's basically, he's getting tired. His heart's, he's getting pressure on his chest. They fear that he's having some sort of heart issue. He's taken in and put in the intensive care unit, and immediately on the internet, you're seeing all these Word of Faith ministries asking for prayer for a man who says that he is a modern-day healer. Okay, that's his entire ministry. If you go to his Facebook website, you will see places where he's saying, here's this healing event coming. Come and bring your money and bring your, the people that he won't heal, but bring your money, and he will pray over you, and he will wave his magic jacket, and he'll get healed. You'll get healed. And this man, who is such a staunch, faithful servant of the Lord, so he claims, could not even heal himself. When this first came out, we put out the information. It's like, let's see the faith healers come and heal him. Here's a great opportunity for faith healers to demonstrate their ability to heal Benny Hinn. And what does Benny Hinn say? That it was the cardiologists who are treating him. These guys came and prayed, but interestingly, at no time did Benny Hinn get out of his bed, dance around, and walk out and sign himself out. It was a week after he was placed in the hospital that he's finally getting out. And what does he say? His heart rate's being his heart is being treated. He's getting stronger. His heart rate is coming back down to normal. These are not miraculous healings. Are they amazing works of modern medicine? Yes, and I believe God can heal people if he so chooses to do. It is not a guaranteed healing, as someone like him would tell you, but God can miraculously heal people. God can also allow people to be healed by modern medicine and an amazing technical skill of doctors. And that clearly happened here. God allowed Benny Hinn to be healed. Why did he allow Benny Hinn to be healed? I don't know. The Bible says that God allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So sadly, nobody is picking up on the fact, except for maybe those of us in the conservative Christian ranks, is picking up on the fact he was not miraculously healed. He was prayed over by so-called faith healers. Well wishes and prayers came in from around the world, but it was the hands of doctors who brought him back to health, so to speak. It was not a miraculous, instantaneously healing, as we might see in Scripture. Like when Jesus spoke to a leper and says, I so desire, your faith has made you well, you're healed. And the leprosy disappears. Okay? It's gone. That's not what happened with Benny Hinn here. And sadly, he and others are going to use this to prop up his ministry, to say, see, God healed me. God made me stronger, and it's because of people like you sending in your seed, sending in your prayers, doing all these things that we command you, and look, your faith made me well. And that's really tragic, because he is teaching a false message, and short of his, as one person told me via Twitter, short of his actual dying breath having happened in the hospital, he feared that people would see this as proof of his ministry, and I tend to agree with him. And Rich, what do you think when you hear something like this?
Well, brother, you covered all that very well. I may be wandering from the topic a little bit, but I really think the question comes down to, does God still heal today? But not necessarily does God still heal today, but does God use Word of Faithers like Benny Hinn to heal the sick and infirmed? And, getting ready for the show this week, I went back and looked through some different passages, and if you look at the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, those that had the gift to heal others during the apostolic age. First thing I'd like to oppose to those that are listening, especially to anyone that thinks ministries like Benny Hinn are solid, and to anyone that may be contemplating going to visit one of these healers for their own sickness or a family member, but look to the Bible. What kind of life did those people live that were part of the apostolic age, that were going out, the disciples and the apostles? These men were poor, they were desolate, they were hunted down, and they were executed and persecuted, and they depended on God's very mercy from one day to the next just for food and sustenance and somewhere to sleep. Now, contrast that to how these Word of Faithers live today. I mean, all of these people, most of them, you know, they got expensive cars. You got some of them raising money to buy new jets. You know, they got homes that are valued in the multi-millions, and no luxuries out of their reach. And for the most part, they don't deny themselves any luxury from what I've seen, you know, by postings and on their pages and stuff. And one of the biggest differences, though, you know, between these Word of Faithers and during those in the New Testament, the true men of God in the New Testament, they never asked for anything in return for healing someone else. They never charged or sold tickets to some big event. And in fact, in Acts chapter 8, when Peter was talking with Simon the sorcerer, Simon wanted to purchase the gift of healing. And what did the apostles do? They sent him away to get right with God, because Simon wanted the gift not to glorify God, but to bring glory, fame, and probably money to his own self. And that's what you see with these Word of Faithers. You know, the true apostles never blamed the lack of a physical healing on the one that was actually suffering for not having enough faith. In fact, if you look to Luke, I'm pretty sure it was Luke, I can't remember the chapter, but when they lowered the man through the ceiling and Jesus healed him, Jesus looked at his friends and said, "By your faith, he was made healed." It wasn't the faith of the man that was lowered. It was the faith of those that did the Lord, that lowered the man down to Jesus. And I'm going to paraphrase from Johnny Erickson Tata for a moment, and because anyone that is a Christian and suffers some type of disability, I've talked to numerous ones, and I've experienced it myself. At some point, you're going to have somebody tell you that if you've got enough faith, you'll be healed. If you have enough faith, God will heal your, you know, cancer. If you have enough faith, God will heal your paraplegia. But the next time somebody tells you that, quote them that chapter, or best yet, read them that chapter from Luke. Look at them and tell them that maybe it's not your lack of faith, but maybe it's their lack of faith is the reason that you're not healed. And, you know, that's, I always thought that was a pretty amazing thing when I read that in one of her books. And just to kind of sum up, I do believe, I truly believe this, that if there was a man of God living today that had the true gift of physical healing, you would never see his face plastered all over these unbiblical channels on television. You wouldn't see him plastered all over book covers and making book deals. And I doubt anybody would even ever know his name, because I truly believe such a man with such a blessing like that, he'd be so humble and so quiet that his only interest would be in healing others and not buying jets. He would only be bringing attention to Christ and not to himself. And I seriously doubt you'd find him at a coliseum shouting and bragging about his gift, but he'd be spending every waking moment visiting and being in hospitals and nursing homes. And these self-proclaimed prophets and apostles, and these within the Word of Faith movement, you know, they're nothing more than another version of a snake oil salesman from the 19th century, and they amount to nothing more than someone from one of these psychic commercials you see on television. Call in, at, you know, for only $15, you can speak to our psychic for 20 minutes, and you'll be emotionally healed. I think all of it comes down to, you know, ones like that and these Word of Faithers. All they want is your money and nothing more, nothing else, and they don't care about you. All they care about is what's in your wallet, brother.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, that's the sad part about this. People like Benny Hinn and those like him, prey upon the desires of those who are suffering, who are going through financial difficulty, health issues, family discord. They prey upon that because these are folks that are broken and hurting and looking for help. Now, by and large, unless they are widely just have lack of discernment, many of these people simply aren't saved because they don't profess a true gospel. They profess a gospel of that is about stuff. It's about healing. It's about wealth and health and prosperity. And that's the problem with this false gospel message. It's a message of hope for here and now and nothing about the future. It's about making your life better now. And that's truly, truly tragic because it has taken the glorious work of Christ from the cross and taken all that glory off of him, what he has done, and putting it on man by saying you have to have faith. Rich, you made an excellent point about the healing of the paraplegic man lowered down by his friends. It was their faith. Interestingly, when you look at other times that Christ healed, no faith was involved. The man who was born blind, the disciples asked Christ, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind, because they believed sin was what would cause something like a physical ailment such as blindness. Yet he was born blind, and he says neither. This was so that that God would be glorified, and he heals him. There's no asking the man to produce faith. He simply heals him so he can demonstrate his power over life and death and everything else. You look at the at other places where Christ asks a man, do you desire to be healed? And he goes, well, you know, I don't have the person to lower me into the water. And he says, he declares him healed, and he's healed. It is not always by faith that folks were healed. It was by the power of God and his desire to heal for his purposes. And it is tragic when someone like Benny Hinn, who is supposed to be this powerhouse of faith, is taken so severely ill that he has to be placed in intensive care, and he can't project his own power over himself and miraculously heal himself, and he's got to go to a secular doctor, which is a good thing. I don't desire for someone like Benny Hinn to die from a heart attack. I don't. Okay? Do I want God to stop Benny Hinn from preaching a false gospel message of leading people to hell? Absolutely. And if God, in his justice, took Benny Hinn out of this world through a heart attack, would he be right? Yes, he would. Do I desire that? No, I don't. I trust that God will use his power and his authority to deal with someone like Benny Hinn. And right now, he's allowed someone like Benny Hinn to expose what people do when they follow false teachers. You know, the sad thing about it, and Rich, you brought up a great point, is this mindset that people think that healing is guaranteed and that there are healers out there gifted by God to do just that. One of the common things that I hear from people is they go to Isaiah 53:5, and they'll say, see, it says here, upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. See, that means God heals. Let me back that up for a second. I want to show you the context. Anytime somebody comes to you with a verse and say, see, this proves it, go to the context. We're going to read all of chapter 53. It's 12 verses. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. This is speaking of Christ. This is a prophecy of the Messiah. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Let me pause there for a second. Rich, you brought up a great point about these guys living flashy lives, and yet the Savior, who's supposed to bring prosperity and healing, had no form or comeliness that we should desire him. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I'm going to say the same thing. How is it the faith healers are, glorious icons of that we should go, and yet the Savior is not? Surely he has borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. Okay, that's 12 verses that suddenly clarify what the entire point of by his wounds we are healed. Healed from what? God's wrath. He bore our transgressions, not our illnesses, not our lack of finances, not our lack of health and wealth. He bore our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. It was for our sin Christ died on the cross. Healing is not about physical healing. It is about the sin debt that we owe. The wrath of God poured out on the Son at the cross, and all our sin paid for. It has nothing to do with health or wealth. It has to do with eternal life with God. And so the entire point of that passage is not that someone like Benny Hinn can wave his coat in your face and heal you of ailment. It is that if Benny Hinn was a true Christian and spoke the true gospel, you would hear that you are a sinner bound for hell because of your iniquity, that you have been a blasphemer, that you have been a liar, a coveter, a luster, and an adulterer, that you have sinned against the holy God and deserve his righteous wrath, and yet Christ himself took upon himself your iniquity so that he could be punished in your place. And if you will but repent and trust in the Savior who was buried and rose again, defeating death, that you can be healed, that you can receive the glorious grace of salvation and the righteousness, the perfection of Christ given to you. Benny Hinn is a liar. I'm sorry that you may be angry by the fact that we have said this, but he has lied to you. If you believe that his ministry truly cares about you being healthy and wealthy, this is a man who could not heal himself and had the beck and call of who knows how many dozens or even hundreds of faith healers calling him, praying for him, and not one of them miraculously made him jump from the bed, but it was by the hands of doctors whom God has blessed to simply do a job that they would do for any number of people. This was not miraculous in any way. It was not a miracle. It was God's grace that Benny Hinn continues to breathe, that he is not standing before God in judgment today. It is his common grace that gives him breath and life today. But it is not his blessing. In fact, we may find that it is worse, because we know that it is entirely possible, believing he has defeated death, that Benny Hinn will become worse now with this much weight behind him. than he was before he went into that hospital. I beg you, if you are trapped in this this sinful system that says you produce enough faith and God is mandated to heal you, I beg of you, flee from it now and cling to the true gospel of Jesus Christ and repent and trust in him for salvation, because that's the only healing that matters. That is the only thing that matters. What we come to Christ for, it is not about a cushy life now. It is about a blessed life in eternity, because we get to spend it with our Savior who died for our transgressions, not for our illnesses. Rich, any last thoughts?
Brother, I couldn't say it any better, but I just hope that someone listens to this broadcast and that they understand that, like you said, true prosperity has nothing to do with material wealth or things now or homes or cars or a fat wallet or a fat checking account. True prosperity in Christ is the ability, and by his grace, true prosperity is faith in fire. And I don't know of any simpler way to put it. It's not escaping the fire. It's him giving you the perseverance to endure the fire of whatever tribulation you may be facing, if you truly have been born again by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, that's what we have to say about Benny Hinn. You know, quite honestly, I pray that man repents. And I know some folks debate whether we should pray for false teachers. David, you know, showed us that it is entirely possible to pray imprecatory prayers when you look through the Psalms against people who are enemies of Christ. And there's no question that someone like Benny Hinn is an enemy of Christ. We should pray that God brings an end to his ministry. But I pray for that man, for his salvation, because I don't want anybody to go to hell. And I certainly don't want Benny Hinn to go to hell. I don't desire that anyone see that eternal punishment, especially when there is salvation in Christ. So I pray that man gets saved and he repents. But until then, I pray God shuts his ministry down and burns it to the ground if need be, because he is leading many on a broad path to hell, and it is lined in his pockets the entire way. And it is tragic what is going on. Okay, switching gears, we want to get into our second topic for tonight, and that was the trial of Michael Overd. Michael Overd is a street preacher in the UK, and he was arrested. As you recall, Tony Miano was arrested twice in the UK, once at Wimbledon and once in Scotland, simply being out on the street preaching the gospel, and that was what Michael Overd did. And he had two particular individuals that filed complaints against him. One was a man who identified as being homosexual. Another was a Muslim man. Both of them complained that he basically committed hate speech against them. And he went to trial, and out of the three counts that were brought against him, Michael Overd was found of one. And if you go to ChristianConcern.com, Christian Concern is the UK version of something like, say, the ADF or the ACLJ. They are a group of Christian lawyers who are fighting for the religious liberties of people in that side of the world. And they were kind enough twice to defend Tony in both cases. And we are grateful for their work. Well, if you go to their website, ChristianConcern.com, and you look at the news release from March 23rd, 2015, you will see a news release entitled "Judge Censors Bible for Public Preaching." And basically what it said is that a Christian street preacher has been convicted of a public order offense for using the wrong Bible verse in public conversation with a man who identifies as homosexual. The preacher was acquitted on two other public order charges. In a highly unusual judgment, Michael Overd, who regularly preaches on the streets of Taunton, please forgive me if I get that wrong, my UK friends, was told by the judge that he should not have referred to Leviticus chapter 20 to make his point, but clearly indicated that he could have used chapter 18 of the same book. District Judge Shamim Ahmed Qureshi found that Mr. Over could have pointed to Leviticus 18:22, because which describes homosexual practice as an abomination, but the reference to Leviticus 20:13 was inappropriate because the chapter refers to the death penalty. Mr. Over pointed out that his use of Leviticus 20, and he never referred to the death penalty. He said, I'm being punished for words that never passed my lips. He goes on to express his shock that a judge should adopt the role of a biblical censor, effectively dictating which parts of the Bible are fit for public reading. So that's basically the main chunk of the story. Rich, if you can post that link in chat room, I'd appreciate it. Oh, you already beat me to it. Fantastic. But that's the chunk of the story. He's out there preaching, and the judge says, you can't use Leviticus chapter 20. In Leviticus chapter 20, it says not only does it say homosexuality is a sin, it says that it is punishable by capital punishment. In other words, you can be put to death for it. So because you used that passage, even though you didn't say the man could be put to death, because you used that passage, that could be construed that you were advocating the death penalty, therefore I'm going to find you guilty of hate speech, even though Michael Orford never said the man should have been put to death. That's tragic. That's scary, because that is what is coming down the pipe with things like hate speech laws. Today you are hearing more and more certain types of speech simply aren't protected because they're so hateful. They're bigoted, they're mean, they're cruel, and you aren't allowed to say those things. You're going to hurt someone. You're going to make them feel bad. And it might make them feel so very bad that they might harm themselves as a result of it, and you would be responsible for it. And so to protect these poor, these poor discriminated against people, we're going to take away your ability to use the Bible as it is written and use it to defend your position. You simply are not going to be allowed to do so. So that is terrifying, because that is what is coming down the road with this particular issue. The thing that we found really interesting following the Christian Concern release is an article from westernmorningnews.co.uk. And if you look at the March 23rd article, and it says it's by WMNJ Bailey, the title of the article says, "Street Preacher Who Told Gay Man God Created Adam and Eve, Not Adam and Steve, Ordered to Pay Compensation." This article was very, very interesting because it mentioned the very people with whom Tony is out talking and preaching and teaching about how to share the gospel, and that's our friends over at Jeremiah Cry and Herald Society. According to the article, a street preacher who condemned a gay man as a sinner was ordered to compensate him today after rolling with a judge who threatened him with prison. Loudmouth Michael Over, 50, clashed with Darren Chambers as he spouted his controversial Christian beliefs through a microphone in the town center. Are you noticing that there's not a lot of objectivity in this article? Mr. Chambers questioned his stance on homosexuality, and Over told him he was a sinner who needed to repent. I don't see an issue with that, quite honestly. He quoted from the Bible and told Mr. Chambers, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Folks, I don't know if that's exactly what Mr. Overt said. I would say that's not our most powerful argument. We probably could go without being incendiary, but we still stick with the Word of God. That's just my personal note. Mr. Chambers said the incident in Taunton, Somerset, left him feeling ashamed and belittled, and reported it to the police. Ashamed and belittled. That's a crime, to make someone feel ashamed and belittled. And that's what he was convicted of. They used evidence from witnesses and video footage and charged Over with three public order offenses, including two separate race-related ones. He was convicted of using threatening or abusive words likely to cause harassment, alarm, or distress, but cleared of the other incidents. Now, this is the thing that, you know, we're going to go a little further down in the article that I find pretty interesting. Over became, talking about what's going on with this entire incident, the writer of this article ends with one particular issue. Over became religious 9 years ago. Became religious 9 years ago, but became more radicalized after discovering an American organization called Jeremiah Cry Ministry. Dun, dun, dun. He became radicalized because he learned from our brothers at the Jeremiah Cry Ministry how to be a faithful herald of the word. That's radicalized. He's radicalized. Have you paid attention to the evening news? What have we said about Muslims who blow themselves up and kill women and children in the public? They are radicalized. What do we say about the people who commit terrorist attacks like 9/11, and when it's brought out that they're Muslim, what do we say? They are radical Muslims. Radicalized means that you are a threat to common man. That's how the term radicalized is being used. And this particular author said that Michael Overd was radicalized because he discovered Jeremiah Cry Ministries, a ministry that is dedicated to the sanctity of the pulpit and calling men who step up onto the box, whether on the street or behind the pulpit, to honor God's word as God's word. And that made him a radical. We've had our brothers from that ministry on this program. And according to this author, they are radicals. These are people who desire nothing more than to see the truth of God's word proclaimed and to be proclaimed rightly. And according to what we have just read, when you stand upon God's word and you say, Leviticus chapter 20 says, homosexuality is a sin which God will condemn, you are considered a radical and a judge will take away your ability to preach it because he says that verse is hateful. You are a radical in the eyes of Morningstar News if you believe God's word for what it says and you tell someone this. You are as bad and as evil and as wicked as a coward who will strap a bomb onto himself and blow up women and children. Do you realize that? You are a radical in the Morningstar News' eyes. And that is more and more what the world is starting to see us as. Rich, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to make a comment, then I'll explain it. The author of that news article from West Morning News, I'm going to have to say that the author was exactly correct. When the author stated that Overd is radicalized, the author is correct. But, now let me explain that. From the world's perspective, from the unsaved people of this world, from their perspective, true Bible-believing Christians are radical because we deny everything that the world embraces. We deny sin. We deny everything that the world loves. We are willing to stand up and say, this is the Bible. This is actually the Word of God. This is what is right. This is what is wrong. And in today's society, for someone to stand up and say, you're wrong, you're a radical. And you need to keep in mind that everything that's going on in the UK right now, you will be seeing in the United States within the next 10 to 20 years, because it's been proven over the last century, as the way Europe goes, the United States is not far behind. And right now, the UK is more of a socialistic government than they are anything else. And there is an active worldwide secular jihad going on right now against the Word of God and biblical truth, whether they're Muslim, secularist, or whatever, because the world cannot understand the things of God. And in their view, we are the radicals because we do trust and believe what God in the Bible actually says.
Amen. Amen. The world is, you know, has cast off any semblance of Christianity, and it is fully embraced, as you're saying, Rich, this secular humanist mindset. It is embrace the postmodern, coexist, and you can coexist as long as you do things our way. They are as inclusivist as you come. They exclude Christianity in every way, shape, or form. And it's tragic. It is terrible what we're seeing coming down the road. But this needs to be a clarion call for the church right now. I was talking with a brother earlier today, and we are, especially in American evangelicalism, of the mindset that we should have a comfortable existence as Christians. That if we do everything we're supposed to do, God will bless us and give us a nice home, give us a job, give us all the things, good, you know, health and wealth. We may not look at it in terms of a Benny Hinn style faith of blabbit and grab it, but we certainly are living that way when we don't when we start going, God, I don't get why you're allowing these things to happen. Why won't you do something? We want a comfortable existence. Well, I want to read something to you because this is what is coming. And, Rich, I agree with you, but I think it was James White that just recently said he sees not 10, 20 years down the road. He sees it within 5 years that you're going to start seeing a dramatic change in how the government deals with Christians. And if you're walking into a church, you might be counting on an IRS man taking your information as you go in, and you're going to be penalized in some fashion. And that I fear what he says is true. But let me share something with you. If you disagree with me, if you don't think that it's a big deal to expect Christianity to have a comfortable existence as a Christian, I want to read something to you. Out of Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 25. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and the children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not go through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciples to be like his teacher and the servant to be like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much worse will they malign those of his household? And just in case you think that only applies to the apostles, I want you to listen to 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's verses 12 and 13. Though anyone who calls himself a Christian today, who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, will face persecution. The apostles were warned of the great amount of persecution they would face as they proclaimed his name. And anyone who calls himself a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, what is waiting for you, especially in this day and age, is a world who does not accept what you believe. There was a time when the momentum of Christianity that affected Western culture carried us. And there was a cultural Christianity of sorts. Well, that is gone. It is fading. It is just disappearing fast. And we are seeing a world that is now dictating to us how we will live and what we will say and what we will believe. Are you prepared for that? By what we see in most of America, I would argue we're not. And we need to get ready. It is time to cast off the things of this world and cling to Christ as our Lord and Savior. and not expect that he will simply give us a pat on the back and say, good job, and I'll give you what you want. It's time to care more about Christ and his gospel than anything else, because the time is changing and it's coming fast. Folks, we thank you for being with us this week. We look forward to having you back next week when Tony's back and hearing about the Jeremiah Cry Herald Society Conference. As we say every week, be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid. Proclaim the gospel. Good night.